Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today we begin the new season of the church year. It's the season of Advent. Advent means coming, and we look forward to the coming of our Savior's birth that we'll celebrate on Christmas, but also we look forward to the day when he will come again to take us into glory. Let us begin then with prayer. Loving God, we thank you for the hope you give us. Help us prepare our hearts for the Lord's coming. Bless our worship. Help us to live holy and righteous lives. We ask it all in the name of the one born in Bethlehem. Amen. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praise. Hasten to save me, O God. O Lord, come quickly to help me. Our first lesson today, then, is the epistle lesson from Romans chapter 13. We'll begin reading at verse 11. The Apostle Paul, in his words of inspiration, reminds us that the day of our Lord's return is near. We practice vigilance as we live out our faith in the daylight of God's grace. Paul writes, verse 11, "Do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature." These are the words of our Lord. We turn then to our message for today from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. I'll begin reading at verse 42. "When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. They said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' Peter replied, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call.' With many other words, Paul warned them, and Peter warned them, and he pleaded with them, 'Save yourselves from this corrupt generation.' Those who accepted Peter's message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." This is God's word. Dear friends, in a little over a month from now, Lord willing, we will be celebrating a brand new year, 2026. And we know from the past that New Year's resolutions will be made, and many of them will center around taking care of your body. You know that Americans spend more than $150 billion a year trying to lose pounds on everything from paying for a gym membership to the things they drink and the weight loss pills and products that they consume. But if you are planning new strategies to lose weight and getting in shape, be careful before you empty your pockets, especially if you plan on joining a gym. in January like an army. Members of the gym storm the entrances. They occupy all the machines. 3 months later, 90% of those with the membership never use them. Why do so many Americans join a gym in January? It's a New Year's resolution to take care of their bodies. Today we are starting a new year. Today marks the beginning of a new church year. And as a congregation, how about let's make a New Year's resolution? Let's make a resolution to take care of our body. Not this body or your body, but our body. To take care of our church body. And we can do so by growing stronger in the faith and growing closer in fellowship. One of the greatest sermons ever preached is the one that serves as our text for today from Acts chapter 2. This is Peter's sermon that he preached on the first Pentecost Sunday. As I read it, did you notice that the first part of his sermon was bam, bam, boom, boom, smack you in the face with the law? Peter accused the Jews of crucifying Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah. As we listen to the words that Peter spoke that day, none of us were actively involved in killing Jesus. We weren't the ones that were shouting out, "Crucify him," as they did. Yet the sin that we were born with, the original sin, and the sins we actually do each and every day in our thoughts, words, and actions. Yeah, our sins put Jesus on the cross. And that is a hard smack in the face, and it hurts. It hurts us, but it hurt Jesus far more. And it begs this question from us. Brothers, what shall we do? When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And that's the question they asked Peter. That question really is a confession. Peter, you're right. We did kill Jesus. I killed Jesus. What shall we do? Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." First of all, we grow in our faith when we repent. As Noah was building that ark, his message to his neighbors who were watching was not, "Hey, something good is going to be coming to you guys." The prophet Jeremiah, who was thrown into that cistern for preaching, did not say, "I'm okay, you're okay, everything's fine." And the fiery Advent preacher, John the Baptist, didn't lose his head literally for preaching, "Smile, God loves you." Each of those men of God proclaimed the same clear message as Peter did. Repent. To repent means to come clean, to admit that we are poor, miserable sinners. To repent means to throw all our sins on Jesus and his cross. It means to change. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we do change from the way we want to live to the way God wants us to live. To grow stronger in our faith, we need to remember our baptisms. As you face every challenge in life, every temptation, every opportunity to speak words that build up rather than to tear down, to choose right rather than wrong, Jesus is standing next to you. And that's just not a fuzzy picture. It's a fact. Jesus is standing right next to you. He is keeping his promise, "I am always with you." to grow stronger, we reach out. Verse 40 and 41. With many other words, Peter warned them. He pleaded with them. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. In one day, the church in Jerusalem grew from 120 to 3,120. People still stinging from what they had done to Jesus on the cross were now praising Jesus for what he had done for them on the cross. The power of the gospel created faith in their hearts, and their faith held on to Jesus as their Savior. I have preached probably over 2,500 sermons, but never did we have 3,000 baptisms or confirmations after any one of those services. Not even 300, not even 30. What the Holy Spirit did that day on Pentecost was a once-in-a-history occasion. But the Holy Spirit still works in the same way, using us to reach out. This past Wednesday, we had a beautiful service at church. The whole room was arranged for the worship itself, with many tables and chairs all around those tables. And so we worshiped sitting around tables, sitting as a family. It was the same place then that we enjoyed the pie that followed. And as we were putting everything back, the tables away, the chairs back to where we always have them when we worship, someone said, hey, maybe we should leave it like this. Be a great way to advertise to the community. Come to church, have a cup of coffee, and eat a donut while the pastor preaches. Well, we're not going to do that, but, you know, I have received many, many different ideas through the emails on different methods of outreach. One suggestion was having reclining chairs. Wow, that'd be something. Another was to offer frequent flyer miles with every visit. And then there was the idea to issue get-out-of-hell-free credit cards. Well, you must realize that we already have one of those. We really do offer get-out-of-hell-free cards. Remember what the Word of God said about Abraham's faith? Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. The righteousness of Jesus' triumph over the corruption of man. And we have to admit, our world is corrupt. Sin breaks our hearts, saddens our souls, destroys our bodies, rips apart families. And we carry out our ministries and reach out with the gospel because we want the church to grow, not for the sake of numbers, but for the sake of souls. Souls Jesus redeemed with his blood on Calvary's cross. We take care of our church body by growing stronger in the faith, but also by growing closer in fellowship. We read, those new disciples devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. Many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Fellowship is simply this, drawing closer together. And as we draw closer together, we do things together. What are those things we do together? We worship, we pray, we educate, Bible studies, we participate in the sacraments, and we do mission work. Fellowship is sharing the blessings of those five fingers of fellowship with those who share our faith. The blessing of fellowship has kept us strong as a congregation. In 1968, three astronauts were the first humans to see and photograph the far side of the moon and the rising of the Earth over the moon's horizon. They were in Apollo 8 spacecraft. Now, as they looked down on the moon from their Apollo 8 spacecraft, they described the moon as dark and lonely, and then they saw something no other human being had ever seen before. They saw the rising over the horizon, a small sphere, and soon the glorious earth shone brilliantly. In our church, the Holy Spirit reveals the brilliance of Christ in an even more glorious way. A baby is being baptized. A young boy or girl sings, "Jesus loves me, this I know." A shut-in folds her hands to pray for you, for me. And the congregation hears the comforting words from the pastor, "I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Our text goes on, all the believers were together. They had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. In a typical congregation, the story goes, the people were startled one Sunday when, after the pastor made a statement about the love of God, someone shouted, "Praise the Lord!" An usher immediately walked up to that person, tapped her on the shoulder and said, "Ma'am, this is a Lutheran church. There'll be no praising the Lord here." Oh, we can smile about that joke because we almost can see it happening. But it does beg the question, how can we best praise the Lord? Not just by shouting out, "Praise the Lord." A first century theologian provides the answer. The most fervent praise we can offer up to God is our very lives. "Lord, take all that I have. Take my talents, my treasures, my time. Take my life and let it shine for your glory and my good." Do you remember the percentage of people with the gym memberships who never used them after 3 months? 90%. I'm not going there, but you know where I'm going. My friends, take time for your body. Take time for your church. Through that time, we will grow stronger in faith. And through that time, we'll grow closer in fellowship. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have brought us safely to this new day. Defend us with your mighty power, and grant that this day we neither fall into sin nor run into any kind of danger. And in all we do, direct us to what is right in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. God bless you. God bless your week.